Welcome to the Beyond Good podcast. This is Matt Finley. Well, today Femi and I discuss our career changes, both recent, as in my case, and forthcoming, as in his. This context should throw some light onto how we are thinking about teaching and learning and education going forward, as well as some of the conversations we've had recently or coming up. Not too much more to say by way of intro, which is for the best, as I have a bit of a tickly cough and sore throat. So without further ado, here is the episode we call Changes Afoot.
Okay, well, changes coming for both of us, or has come for you already, really.
Yeah,
You've made the decision, or made it reasonably recently, to step away from department leadership. Or schools in general, as in the day-to-day working within a school.
Yeah.
Why was that?
Yeah, okay, so I think one of the big reasons was I'd been spending more and more time in my position on SLT as working with other teachers, and also as head of maths department, and had really started to enjoy that kind of coaching, developmental side,
yeah.
Thinking about what improvements to teaching and learning looks like, thinking about developing teachers. Like, there's a huge learning curve, of which I was at the bottom and enjoying working my way up that slope.
Yeah.
And one of the things that happened, and there were a couple, but...
Most of your dialogue with me was about that, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That's what you were talking about all the time, which is exciting.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
And as anyone would be... When you have some small successes with that and you start to feel, or at least you feel like you're learning and you're moving forward, I find that very motivating.
Yeah.
Like the idea of progress, of things not standing still is something that drives me, I guess. One of the things that happened, you know, in the department, we had a couple of new teachers and one of them went off long-term absent, which was kind of like out of nowhere. You didn't come in one Wednesday. Okay, but back in tomorrow, wasn't in tomorrow, wasn't in Friday, sort of next week, and then like signed off.
Yeah.
So my timetable, I took on a bunch of you know, as you would, and as you have, I know, in similar circumstances, took on a bunch of his lessons, and I'm spending a lot of my evenings like writing cover work and preparing work for his groups for the rest of his lessons. And all of the kind of good stuff I was doing with teachers that I was really enjoying doing has gone out the window, and I'm now doing some fairly tedious stuff.
Mm.
And I kind of realised, like, as a maths teacher in the current climate, that's always going to be potentially on the cards.
Yeah.
Like, no matter what level you get to, you may just need to go and teach maths because we just don't have enough teachers.
Even in a big, successful private schools and anywhere.
Anywhere.
That could be the case, yeah.
Yeah. So... And I love teaching maths, and don't get me wrong, that's still probably the highlight of my job, but I made the decision that, like, if I'm going to continue on this particular learning journey of working with adults and working outside of my comfort zone, I'll probably need to do it on my own terms. So that was when I left being in school day to day to kind of do consultancy work and go in and work with schools and work with teachers on a one-to-one basis.
Yeah.
And I was doing that for a little while, but then the job at StepLab came up, which I applied for and was lucky enough to get. And one of the things that made me really want to go that direction is that they are very much have kind of, I wouldn't say solved, or they've provided a solution to the problems that we've been discussing for 10 years. In terms of teacher development. And like, once I started to look into it, I was convinced. I was a believer in what they were doing and how they're doing it. And they could recognise, you know, and Josh in particular, obviously he's the co-founder of StepLab along with Ben, they recognised the sort of impotence of the ways that schools were approaching CPD, you know,
with this everyone together in the hall and
yeah.
undifferentiated kind of response.
Head teacher saying, currently we're working on this, and the people don't even know the thing that the head teacher says they're working
right,
on.
Right, all yeah. of that stuff. Yeah. And so it's really based on a coaching model. For those that don't know, StepLab is essentially a software platform that facilitates school to implement coaching effectively in their school. And it's powerful stuff. It's filtered by being research informed. Like yeah. it's not just someone's opinion. It's what we know works. And this idea that we need to develop teachers, that's like a really useful way to spend your time and your life, appealed to me. I think that's really important. I think the situation in education is right on the brink, and if we don't start getting really highly skilled people into education and developing them to be really skillful teachers, we face potentially a catastrophe.
So
I've been there for about 3 weeks now, maybe 4 weeks now, and absolutely delighted to be a part of that team.
So what part of the team are you leading? Or
well,
are you part of?
Yeah, I'm wondering if there's any other job like this in the world, but I'm leading on video production. So the idea is just to, within StepLab, there are, you know, teaching is broken down into sort of six learning problems, and then each of those has a bunch of goals, 6, 7, 8, 10, 12 goals. And then each of those has a series of action steps. So it's making the skills of teaching very granular and very specific, so teachers can increase those skills one at a time. And each of those action steps has or needs kind of video of great teachers in action to show what that looks like. A lot of people haven't had the privilege of seeing great teaching in action. You can describe something for them, but it's a whole new thing to see it.
We've talked about this pre-StepLab, haven't we? We've talked about this before.
So many times.
The importance of seeing it, having your eyes open to what can be go on.
Perfectly put.
Is, like you say, if you're in a department where that isn't being shared or people aren't welcome to have you in their lessons or whatever, then this is an opportunity to actually see it, which is vital.
Yeah. So it's about filming great teachers. It's about taking that film and editing it into short clips and putting them on StepLab so that they're exemplars of all of these steps. There's like the best part of 300 steps in the core steps, and then there are specialist units. So there's a lot. There's a lot of film on there already. It's incredibly useful platform, I would say, and resource for teachers and. But it's about really making that something special, I think, and showcasing the best of what can be achieved so that people can really see excellence.
So you're going to have the opportunity over the next, let's say, 12 months, as an example, period of time, to visit a lot of different schools.
I hope so. And, you know, and it's visiting some of the best schools in the country and seeing some of the best teachers in the country, which hence why I was watching Pritesh.
Yes.
We talked about that.
Yes.
And then, you know, anything we can do, really, you know, StepLab's mission is to support teachers to improve. That's, they want education to be better for kids.
Yeah.
And we want to do that through having teachers work and live reasonable lifestyles like you and I have been lucky enough to live, not working, you know, 70 hours a week, not working all weekends, not working late into the evening, but doing that reasonably, but being really effective in doing it.
Being effective, working on meaningful tasks, enjoying their work, seeing children do better, do well, thanking them for their input in their lives.
Exactly.
Keeps you going. Exactly. You can do that for 40 years. What you can't do is just work till 9 p.m. on things you don't really care about.
No,
for 40
years. and then have kids not listen to you as you run through your lesson.
Yeah.
In the next day, and then spend half your your afternoon chasing up behaviour and making phone calls home.
Yeah.
So it's about like upskilling teachers so that they can have that kind of experience of mastery.
Yeah.
Right? And all the pleasures that come with mastering your work.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm stoked really to be a part of that project.
I'm excited just to sort of see how it's going, hear how it's going, and get just an insight into how you guys are going about doing that. It's an exciting team, isn't it? Of people.
It's a really exciting team of people. Yeah, yeah. All ex-teachers, senior leaders, many of them senior leaders. And so they know, it's sort of a prerequisite really for being at StepLab is to know teaching.
Yeah.
You know, there's...
Because I'm right thinking that you were kind of... encouraged, when you applied, if you know teaching, this will be fine. The other stuff you can learn.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, so the difference between me and someone who is, who's spent their career working with film and editing video.
Yeah.
Is that when I look at a lesson, I'm much more likely to see things of relevance going on there. And therefore be able to edit around those.
Yes.
To highlight the salient features.
Yeah.
Whereas, someone else might be able to do that quicker than I could initially. But not actually know what they're looking at.
Yeah.
And so not present the right things.
Yeah.
And I think that's true across the whole of StepLab platform. You know, you look at the people who are working well, every member of the team knows teaching. So even when they're even on the technical side of the development, they're thinking about that from the point of view of what's like to be used in a school, from the point of view of what are the needs of SLT in terms of tracking information and data and what kind of summary stats might we like to have. Like these are people who've lived it, so they know what they're doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So but yeah, I mean high performing individuals, smart people, and living a wholesome, balanced life. You know, it's people who are healthy and active and working sensible hours, but making a real difference.
Yeah. Well, I think we're all going to benefit from that. That's what I pick up on it. So for any listeners, I've had a sort of hour run through of it, not from Matt, from one of his colleagues, and. Really do believe that as he says, they're getting things in the right order of what people really need in the schools. Being able to really see what's going on in your school in terms of coaching, being able to actually see videos of coaching that's been going on in your school, different people having access to those, the right people. I'm probably a reasonable person to have these things put through to a degree, because I will just say, nah, it's pointless rubbish. And I've done that on many things before.
Yeah.
But I'm not there with this, and it's nothing to do with Matt doing it. It's great, it's exciting.
Well, you should speak as to why you have a particular interest in that, because this relates to the theme really of this podcast, which is change, and you've got some important changes coming up as well.
Yeah. So 8 years of department leadership. I very much had it in my head last year that I wanted this year to be the year that I join an SLT and really start trying to drive things forward as a member of SLT rather than a middle leader. That has proved hard, actually. I didn't realise, someone said to me recently that the jump from middle leader to SLT is probably the most competitive jump to make in schools.
Right.
Because you can apply as head of maths, head of dance, head of languages, head of year, pastoral leaders. Anyone can say, actually, I think I should be in SLT. And a lot of appointments in SLT happen internally. So you don't get that many opportunities to say, right, okay, I'm going for this SLT role at the school that's within drivable distance of me. When they have come up, there are lots of applicants. We're talking 20, 40, 60. I've been quite good at getting interviews, and I've had a number of interviews, and managed at one school quite recently to get a role of assistant head for teaching and learning.
Brilliant.
And, it was It was good. It was a good day. It was me going in, 8 of us on interview. We had to teach a lesson. Well, as you know, I view that as being like, if I can't smash this lesson out of the park, I will walk out.
Yeah.
You know, not probably wouldn't, but you know what I mean? I'd have questions for myself of whether this is the right school for me to work in. So that's important. Go around the school with a deputy head, watch some lessons, feedback to him, things that are effective, things the teacher might want to do differently. A data task, an interview, a people panel, and that was day one. Then it was bring people back for day two for some other tasks as well. So it was good fun in that we're really, in my experience of teaching, for the first time talking about a competitive environment without being rude, both in my head of department jobs. I got there and I'll probably be getting this job, you know, based on the fact there either wasn't anyone else there or the people there probably came out. Well, I'll tell you one thing, actually, in one school where I got the head of department, just came out of the lessons just saying they found it hard to teach the class. Yeah. And I just thought, well, I didn't. That was a strong lesson. So I expect I'll get this. And did get it.
Yeah.
Whereas one thing I noticed in these roles, most people were coming out of the lessons just saying, yeah, that was fine. That was right. Fine. The class were fine. Yeah. That was as I expect.
That's encouraging. That's encouraging because, I did have a concern that because there's not a huge number of CVs on desks, that people are coming through quite quickly, that you know, people going for senior leadership positions after 2 or 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, can those people really walk the walk? Have they taken a tutor group through a number of times? Have they taken a class through from 7 to 11? Have they seen all the things that can come up?
Yeah. Well, I'm of the view that all these roles should be being advertised. I don't necessarily buy the second in maths, does it for 2 years, is then head of maths for 3 years, and then the assistant head leaves, and oh, it's going to be Tim. Tim's a great guy, new assistant head. Put it on the test. Get him to compete against other people.
Yeah.
If it's that good,
yeah.
It'll shine through.
Yeah.
But I know that's not always done. Lots of people just get it.
Yeah. And there is a reasonable reason for that like schools in this struggling to recruit want to retain people.
Yeah.
One way you can retain people is to promote them and make them want to stay.
Yeah,
so but I understand
they do a different role then. So I don't know if that always has the desired effect. Yeah. But I know what you mean. I do know what you mean. Yeah, if he knows the staff, if he knows the culture of the school. I also think sometimes it might be heads wanting to stick to what they know and what they have. And actually, do I want Matt Finley coming in and changing the status quo when I could be promoting Tim, who I know, and I know that he'll fit in well. He'll fit in well here with me and my SLT. You know, is there actually a desire to have different voices around the table? Mm. Or is it just, we'll promote the ones we like to a point where they agree with me, and then we've got what we want?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no one's going to rock the boat.
No one's going to rock the boat. He's a good guy.
I'm sure there's some of that in some of the weaker leadership teams. I think it's fantastic, and I think that two things. There's always two things with me.
Yeah.
Assistant head teaching and learning. That's perfect.
Well,
that's the right role for you.
What was quite exciting about the advert is it just there are a number of adverts that said this. Some of them said we want someone to lead on data. That's what we want. That's always a bit hard.
No.
But this one just said the roles and responsibilities of the suitable candidate will be discussed after appointment.
Right.
Or at interview. Well, that's interesting. So I get in and give it all my chat that people have listened to Pod will know, things I say typically, and they just said, yeah, you just need to be the teaching and learning guy.
Good.
So that's what you're going to be.
There wasn't
any kind of real bartering about it, or because you also do the timetable or anything like that, this is what you need to do.
Good. Yeah, and that's my second point, really, is that for them, this is very good for this school. This is good news for them, I believe.
Yeah.
And it's good that they've recognised that in you. I mean, because there are very few teachers in my experience who have the quality of teaching, you know, available to them that you have, as well as the breadth of experience. You know, you've been doing it quite a long time now.
Yeah.
And you've led cross departments and turned around departments that were not performing well in comparison to the rest of the school or where they should be, and are now and or at the time of you leaving were, you know, the shining examples at the school.
Well, so, I've been thinking about this quite a lot recently, and I reckon that to do this job effectively, there's probably three things, two of which I've got and one of which I really need to work on. There might be more. I'll tell you, I'll change this in a year's time. But I think you have to be a good teacher.
Yeah.
I think you have to be tenacious enough and willing to get your hands dirty and have conversations with people and change things and do things and say things. Okay, that's all right. But the other one I think is really important is, this is where I think you're very strong, is you have to be well-read enough to be able to deal with opposition and know the craft well enough, not just from personal experience, which is important, but also from a, this is what research and well-respected thinkers of the profession say about our craft.
Right. Right.
Because I think people, Tom Bennett used a good example. We had him on the pod where he sort of said, you know, we don't want teaching to be where medicine was 180 years ago,
yeah,
where it was just a, this is how I operate on the spleen because I'm the leading surgeon in London. But there's no basis to any of it other than the fact that he's leading surgeon in London.
Yeah.
We don't want that. It needs to be, we do this operation like this because there's evidence to suggest that this is how it needs to be done. And it might not be quite as cut and dry in teaching, but there needs to be something. So I want to devote a lot of time over the next 6 months to just reading and just having read things and podcasts. Yeah, that's what I'm all
knowledge,
about now.
Knowledge is power.
Knowledge is power. Yeah.
No, I think that's great. I think that's great. Well, and it's exciting for me that the possibility that you will start to implement coaching in your new role. And I know that there's a lot to be said about sort of culture and structures and systems before that can kind of just take root. But the things that I'm seeing, you know, the solutions that Josh has worked out, and it's worth saying that, you know, in terms of his coaching and his book, Responsive Coaching, he's road tested that stuff in a school where he's just coached for a year.
Yeah.
So that for me, that differentiates him from anyone else out there on the market, really.
It says a lot about him as well, I think.
It does, yeah, it does.
So he probably could have written a lot of that before the year, but wanted to go and road test it.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's good, isn't it? And I think what you and I both see in it is the resonance of, like, yes, that's actually the right solution to this problem that I never quite cracked.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, you've described exactly what happened to me when I had this coaching conversation with Bill.
Yes.
Or when I tried to get Anna involved in coaching, you know, it went this way.
Yeah.
And I can now see why that is.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And if you see that in a writing, you tend to trust it more, I think, because you think, these bits are right, definitely right, because I've experienced it.
Yeah.
So the bits that I haven't experienced might well be right as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a lot of faith in it, and so I'm excited to see that journey for you and where that all goes, where that all leads.
Yeah. It reminds me a little bit of a sort of, I don't know, an athlete who's about to just do the 1500 metres, who just knows that whenever I do this, it's just ridiculously tiring and I'm going to just be really tired by the end of this and it's going to be hard. Does that make sense? That you you're about to go back into it. Because I've got quite a nice setup where I am now, you know. The culture is nice, as you say.
And I don't think that you've said that, actually. So you're currently in private and you're going back into state.
Yeah, so I'm currently working in a very nice private school where the kids are lovely, the behaviour is very good, we're fully staffed. When people leave, we can recruit. We get a nice three-course lunch.
Yeah.
We get longer holidays. There's loads of sport, and I love watching kids' sport.
Yeah.
It's all set up.
Yeah.
And I'm basically leaving all that to earn pretty much the same when you start thinking about tax and stuff, to go back into state school, high percentage pupil premium, not fully staffed for 2024 September currently.
Right. Yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah. 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 All those persistent problems. Yeah. I mean, it's good that you've got a background of state, right?
You 13 years it's before not, the private
the,
sector.
The vast majority of your teaching experience is in state schools.
Yeah, and the thing that I also found reassuring...
You can do this.
Yeah, and the thing that I found reassuring was when I got up the front in front of those kids on my interview day, it was just, this is just teaching. Forget state, forget how much your dad earns, forget how much your house is worth. This is just teaching.
Yeah.
And it was fine.
Brilliant.
It was fine. Brilliant. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
Exciting times.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really, really good, actually, to potentially see that both of our new roles may well benefit each other to some degree.
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
You'll be able to get little bits and pieces from me about how I'm experiencing Step Lab, which you might be able to feed back or whatever.
Absolutely,
or you might,
yeah.
And I'll be able to utilise a system that I wouldn't probably know about if it wasn't for you, because I'd just be saying, it's just all about, just, don't need that. On your iPad, making notes, feedback. And it's actually, I think this is better than that.
I think it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think it is. But I also think it's interesting how these things arrive at the right time.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you've got to be ready to receive an idea. There's this idea, this concept that, you know, information is always floating around. It's always available to you, but until you're ready to receive an idea, until all of the necessary kind of backdrop has fallen into place, they won't land. And it seems to me like the work you've done with your departments trying to understand coaching, bring in coaching, help people develop, come up against those barriers.
Yeah.
Like you persisted with that for many years and learned a tremendous amount. I know we'd both be the first to say, like, we've got a huge amount left to learn. But
and a huge amount of failures along the way.
A huge amount of failures. But it's like having done all that, you're in a pretty good position now to say, okay, hang on. I'm ready for this particular.
And it's also worth saying as well that you didn't get your role because someone pulled you aside in the pub and said, do you want this role? And I didn't get an assistant head role because someone said, I hear you're looking for assistant. There was quite a large degree of sort of risk and sacrifice, which we won't go into, for both of us.
Yes, that's true.
To have these roles.
Yeah.
Because we think we might be able to learn something and do something differently. And other people probably wouldn't have done that. It would have just been, I'll just sit with what I'm comfortable with.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So let's hope it pays off. Let's hope we're both feeble attention in 12 months' time.
Well, we'll have to review at some point. You'll have to touch base and see how it's going.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Cool.